The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Linda Dorsina Farrey is with me now, though. She's a former Massachusetts state senator and state representative, and something of a trailblazer, Linda, if you don't mind me saying. So all of these firsts, you were the first woman elected to the Senate's first Suffolk district. You were the first person of colour elected to the Senate's first Suffolk district. And not only that, I understand you were the first person without Irish ancestry, though you do have an Irish connection we'll talk about, to host the South Boston St. Patrick's Day breakfast. Why did you get involved in politics in the first place? Was it to do all of these things, to be a first?
No, it was not at all. But first, I want to thank you for having me here. I'm really excited to be part of the Kennedy School Summer Program. Why did I run? I'm going to say quickly, though I am kind of long-winded, but I'm going to keep it short, right, as a politician. But I ran because it was about helping people. Right. And being in elected office was able to work on policies and legislation that really had an impact. Whether we talked about small businesses, how do we provide access to capital to them? Whether we look at housing affordability, I was chair of housing. I was chair of small business and community development and really had an opportunity to represent a swath of diverse communities. I was a state rep for 8 years where I represented about 40,000 people. Then I was a state senator. For 5 years, and I represented 160,000 people, and it was in being a state senator is where I was able to host the St. Patrick's Day breakfast. But it was a lot of, I really enjoyed my time in terms of serving the people and really putting forth the issues that they were concerned about.
How easy or otherwise did you find it to bring about change as a politician? What was it what you imagined it would be?
Okay, I'm going to say that, you know, it is about collaboration, right? And, you know, I can propose legislation and it doesn't take one person to pass it. It's how do you build a coalition and partnerships? And that's what, for me, was really invigorating because I could talk about a law, but if I don't get the buy-in from my colleagues, then it won't happen. And so there was a lot of that work. It was difficult at moments, but then we were able to get past that, right? When people understood the importance of whatever issue I may be fighting for, it wasn't just for my district, but it was the Commonwealth in the end, right? And it has impact in everyone's communities.
So if change is brought about then by collaboration and partnership, how would you describe then the atmosphere in U.S. politics at the moment when it comes to collaboration and partnership between people of diverse political views?
Yeah. I would say that, you know, we are in a conundrum a little bit, right, in terms of U.S. politics. But what's interesting is that, you know, the state's different from national, right, in terms of the federal politics. But it's very disturbing at the moment that we are now. I think that, you know, conversations may come up where people have different point of views, but it's very it's kind of toxic, right? And very folks come off very angry around that, the different issues that may come up. But I do think, you know, I'm a hopeful person that I believe that, you know, through conversation and really bringing in, focusing on issues that are impacting people's lives day to day can really help to shift that. However, on the federal level, I'm going to say, you know, there's policies that are being implemented or legislation and laws that are being passed that are going to have direct negative impact on people that may have voted for that person that's currently in the federal office, right? So there's these consequences that folks are going to see around healthcare and lack thereof, right? Or housing affordability and all those different pieces. And it's going to manifest in a way that's going to be very troubling.
One of the things that I guess I often find it difficult to discern from this geographical remove is to what extent that toxicity and tribalism at the federal level when it comes to politics is reflected on the street, on Main Street, you know, and you'd have a better sense kind of, you know, living there amongst the people. You know, is it true to say, if it's true to say that American politics, national politics, is divided, is American society divided?
I would say, okay, great question, right? I would say that in terms of locally, So when I was elected, and it's a different time because I was elected in from 2005 to 2018, there would be strong debate taking place, right? Whether it's Democrats, Republicans, Independents too, but we would go at it, right? We're in terms of conversation, in terms of debate within the state house, within the chamber. But once the debate was over, we would leave and we would have coffee. We would have lunch, right? So there wasn't like an enemy happening. It was more like we're going to debate for this issue for our district or what have you. I do think that, you know, in this moment, you know, and I'm going to say this, but I do think that in this moment, there are more people, I think, nationally, I would say in our state, yes, of course, we're a blue state, but I think nationally that are moving towards more collaboration, right? That are trying to understand that this toxicity cannot last, right? And it's very negative and harmful, I would say, to our communities, whether you live in a city, whether you live in suburban communities or rural communities, there's going to be some serious consequences. And so I do think that more people are having conversation, but it's really through action as well. And how do you, so for me, the way I was able to lead is I was able to bring different thoughts to the table, right? Whether I filed a piece of legislation, I had people that were for it, people that were against it. And I would say, okay, we're coming around the table and we're going to hash it out. You can't get everything, right? But we can get something done and try to move it down the road. But we have a lot of work to do.
So if there has been that, maybe that understandable reaction to toxicity at a local level, that there's more collaboration or there's more people focusing on the importance of collaboration, does that then by extension mean that those people who are collaborating are more and more disillusioned with what's happening at a federal level and at national level?
Yeah, I would think they are a little bit disillusional. I mean, it's really troubling. Right. I mean, I don't know how else you can put it. I mean, the last segment was wonderful that you had. The conversation, my husband, Bill Forey, was on it. And so was Greg, the mayor, and Tanya from Ukraine. And when you hear what is happening on the ground and how world leaders are being treated, it's not OK. Right. And so it's how do we help shift that? It's going to take a lot of work.
Can I ask then about you know, you mentioned your husband, and I said there is this Irish connection there.
There is an Irish connection.
And we met your father-in-law when we were in Boston, an absolute gentleman as well. And we had a great day with him when we were there earlier in the year. So you're born and bred Bostonian, but your parents are Haitian, is that right?
Yes, I'm Haitian-American, yes.
So how much of the immigrant experience is common to different communities? You know, how much is you know, there's unique aspects to the Haitian experience, the Dominican, the Puerto Rican, the Vietnamese, the Irish. How much of it, though, is a common experience?
It is a common experience. I would say that, you know, and I would say this, I'm the real Black Irish, right? When people would see me, that's how I kind of let in my breakfast. But no, there is a commonality. I think for us, like in America, I mean, we are a country that is based on immigrants who have come in search of new opportunities, right? And that's not different from any culture, right? When the Irish came to the America, you know, in the late 1800s, you know, it wasn't great, you know, for the Irish diaspora and the Irish people. I mean, they were not treated kind. On the Boston Common in Boston, there were signs that said no Irish, no dogs allowed, right? And so it's how do we, you know, have the Italians that came in, same thing, right? And now you have a new generation of, you know, Haitian or Venezuelan or Vietnamese and Cape Verdeans, you know, so people come with the idea that this is a country that's about opportunity. This is a country where their homeland may have been in war and they couldn't survive there. And they came in search of something amazing so they could create for their families. And I would say that's my story, right? As a first generation American, my parents came from Haiti, not speaking a lick of English, right? And it was about opportunity. And in the process, they raised us. They put us through school. I'm also Catholic. So we went to Catholic schools and, you know, they poured into us, right? But they also poured into us, but they also did a lot for the community itself. And I grew up in a household where, you know, my parents were lucky enough to buy a two-family Victorian house. They still live in that house. And that's where they were able to allow other families to come and live for free. And they could have used the money because, I mean, there was a lot of us in this household. And they did that and they opened up their home. So when people say, how did you get into public service? I saw my parents doing that. Yeah. I saw my parents opening the doors and having people come in to understand what does it mean to be in America, right? How do you get acclimated into this new culture? And so, yeah, that's what I grew up seeing. seeing. And that's what Boston is. And that's what our country's about.
Linda, listen, it's been great talking to you.
You too.
Real pleasure. And thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Linda Drosina-Fari, she is taking part in a panel discussion. It's on Saturday, I think. You were around lunchtime,
Saturday.
Just before lunchtime. On Saturday here in New Ross, we are here, if you're just joining us, for the Kennedy Summer School.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.